The first task force, which I co-chaired on behalf of the Attorney General, discovered the problems in American Indian and Alaska Native communities was pervasive. We needed experts to take a careful look at this, experts who know the tribal communities, experts who come from the tribal communities, so that we could discover in greater detail the dimensions of the problems and recommend some solutions. We're concerned that children who are exposed to violence have some pretty significant consequences. They have long-term physical, psychological, and emotional harm, and their exposure to violence leads to a higher risk that they might become involved in the juvenile justice or the criminal justice system. So we're seeking answers and solutions, and that's why we're meeting here in Fort Lauderdale.
And Mr. Listenby, when we talk about children exposed to violence, is that just another way of saying direct child abuse, or is it more broad than that?
It's just much broader than that. We know from the National Survey of Children's Exposure to Violence, which was completed back in 2009, that a majority of American children were exposed to violence, crime, or abuse in their home, schools, and communities. This majority of children were exposed both as victims, sometimes as offenders. As a direct result, that we have these children who are responding to their exposure and sometimes acting out. Their developmental path is derailed from the normal path of adolescent development. And in order to get them back on the right path, we discovered that they need to have trauma and trauma-informed care to address the specific needs that they have.
Yeah, how are they responding? How are they acting out and getting off the path, as you say?
To begin with, children who are exposed to violence have turned around and become involved in violent behavior or disruptive behavior. Sometimes they just act out in schools and are disruptive in the classroom. Sometimes they seek groups and peer groups that have destructive tendencies. Other times they engage in use of alcohol and drugs. And these kinds of things are often just a manifestation of the kinds of experiences they've had and the trauma that they've experienced. They're trying to find ways to deal with this while they go through their normal adolescent behavioral patterns.
And this isn't just having an effect on the young people, these kids themselves. It's also having an effect, it's got to be, on their communities.
It definitely is. For that reason, we're seeking to understand how this dynamic plays itself out throughout the community, and we're seeking the assistance of elders in the community, faith leaders in the community, so that we can find long-term solutions. We know that when communities come together, when leaders seek out answers to help children, that children are going to be more effective. We know from all the studies that we've done that a concerned adult in the life of a child has a great impact on that child's development and is very likely to help that child heal and become a normal, productive citizen in the society.
So what's going on in Indian country where this sort of violence is so pervasive?
Well, you know, I have Mr. Cotter here, and perhaps he can tell us some of his personal experiences.
Yeah, Mr. Cotter, welcome. What is happening?
I'll tell you, Edward. In Montana, I want to point out that the Attorney General is personally and professionally invested, and he's committed many years as a United States Attorney in Washington D.C. as well as the Deputy Attorney General as a judge in the D.C. area to children and their exposure and the negative effects that have occurred. So this is an initiative of his that came about in 2010, and Rocky Boy, the Chippewa Cree, has been a participant over the last 3-4 years in the program. They have developed, I think, a very robust program in the manner in which they deal with the issues on their reservation. I can tell you that the significant part of what they do is based on our involvement, the involvement of the communities that border the reservation, Hill County, along with the community of Haber, and identifying early on when a child is exposed to violence so that the appropriate services can be provided. I won't give you any specific case, but I can tell you how we operate this. There are some groups. They're called Child Protective Teams, Multidisciplinary Teams, and SARTs. The members of these groups are healthcare providers, doctors and nurses, child psychologists, our law enforcement. And that, from the law enforcement side, we have the tribal police, we have federal agents, as well as the county law enforcement is involved, and then we have the prosecutors. And so cases are staffed on a basis of every 2 weeks, Edward. And during those staffing, the children may be identified who are in need of services, and that allows then social workers who work on the reservation to go out and meet with the young person and provide the services that are needed. And oftentimes, we also utilize the traditional tribal matters and the Rocky Boys, and it's Chippewa Cree, it's the Peacemakers Circle. These are elders in the community that can follow the traditional approach in terms of helping with kids.
What does that mean, the traditional approach?
Well, it is using the culturally appropriate method in terms of dealing with kids who have been exposed to violence. And it's not only in the follow-up. If a kid has been a particular, perhaps a witness to a sexual assault or to an assault, or been a victim themselves to that event, but also not necessarily, but seeing the aftermath of such an event. And the elders, you know, can go and help process through traditional value, tribal values, and they have a rich culture with the Chippewa Cree, to adapt to the situation. There are also the clinical aspects of it with child services, child psychologists that can also provide help.
Is it true that, I don't know if I have this date right, but early on, maybe back in 2010, there were local surveys taken, and a lot of these kids were exhibiting signs actually of PTSD. Is that right?
That's correct. There was a survey done. In addition to post-traumatic stress, children at Rocky Boys, there was an indication that there was higher violent crime rates among juveniles. The rates of use of alcohol and drugs were increasing. Many children were not being raised in a traditional home, but were being raised by their grandparents. And there was an increased truancy and absenteeism in school. And I think that we've seen the positive effect by moving through into where we are today, that the project that is headed up by Trina Wolf Chief, who is the project director, has made great strides in this area. And I'm going to let Mr. Listenby comment as
well. I just
want
to comment on your question regarding post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, please.
We have indications based upon at least a preliminary study that the post-traumatic stress disorder levels of American Indian and Alaska Native children are in some instances as high as our troops who are returning from Afghanistan and Iraq. So there are very high levels of post-traumatic stress disorder in many places, not all. And what we know, again, is that the normal adolescent development patterns are derailed by trauma at that level, and children do not get a chance to continue their development in a normal way. And unless we intervene with the appropriate trauma-informed care, we're not going to be able to get them back on the right path towards development. And overall, that's just one of the many things we're discovering. There are high levels of suicide among children who are both on the reservations and off the reservations throughout the nation. And we need to find ways to connect with these young people, to hear their voice. We need to listen to them and hear what they have to say about how we should be helping them address these issues. And we need to connect with them in ways so that they understand that we care about them, and that the federal government cares about them, and that the Attorney General cares about them, and his staff cares about them in ways that are meaningful, constructive, and provide a long-term basis for us to address these issues.
Were many people, Mr. Cotter, in Rocky Boy reporting domestic violence situations, various forms of abuse, reporting these crimes to law enforcement, or were people just kind of keeping quiet about it, do you think?
Well, I think a couple things. There are instances where people do keep quiet with respect to domestic violence. But I think with over the last 3 or 4 years, with the presence of an assistant United States attorney and a willingness to prosecute those cases, they are being reported, they are being responded to, and they're being prosecuted. Just recently, under the Violence Against Women Act, there has been oftentimes a non-Indian on a reservation who was married to an Indian who committed domestic abuse cannot be prosecuted, but that has been fixed and that has been changed. The President of the United States signed into law in July of 2013 the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women's Act, and in that there are specific provisions that close that loophole where a non-Indian cannot be prosecuted. Now tribal courts can undertake those prosecutions, and we certainly have done it on a federal level. The one thing that I want to tell you, Edward, you know, as a country, and these are the words of the Attorney General, we have the creativity, the knowledge, the leadership, economic resources to effectively intervene. And we should do everything that we can to help these children.
So you're not saying the problem here is fixed and 100%, but at the same time, progress, it sounds like you're saying, is being made. And if that's the case, where do we go from here from this sort of pilot project?
Well, this is an advisory group that will prepare a report that will be given to the Attorney General later this year. And the Attorney General will respond to the recommendations coming out of this advisory group in terms of how he plans to go forward and deal with these issues. I want to make one other issue really clear. We recognize that many of the young people who are in the Native American community are very dynamic and also very resilient. The fact that they've been exposed to violence does not mean that they succumb to the challenges they face. We have many youth leaders across the nation. The Tribal Youth Program that the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention supports yearly has various kinds of meetings across the nation, and these young people come out, and we have some dynamic, great leaders coming forth in the future. So they're going to help us solve these problems. I have every confidence. I've met with many of them. I even met one of them who plans to become President of the United States. So we should be proud of our young people. We should be optimistic about what they can accomplish, but we need to make sure that they get the tools to help us do what they can tell us to do.
Robert Listenbe, administrator of the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention, and Montana U.S. Attorney Michael Cotter. Gentlemen, thank you very much to you both on this very busy day for you.
Thank you, Edward.
Thank you very much, Mr. O'Brien. Appreciate it.